If you're looking for quality air duct cleaning services, turn to Ducks. We are the trusted name in air duct and HVAC cleaning because we utilize industry-leading methods, advanced technology, and effective techniques. Our team of highly trained professionals has the knowledge and the insight to tackle even the most stubborn buildup. We carefully inspect the property before creating a customized cleaning plan, including recommended actions and next steps. Choose Ducks. D-U-C-T-S.
It's a Football Friday. The Nickel Report, Jordy and the Judge, all the latest in high school football and the Cajuns, the Saints taking on the Rams, and we'll give you Monday's headlines on a Friday. Is that enough for you? We're going to jam-pack it all in 2 hours. Today, Friday, no superstitions here, September the 13th, 2019.
Well, this is by far the best Jameis Winston has looked tonight on this drive. First and 10 at the 20, down to a minute 27 to go. Panthers have two timeouts remaining, Buccaneers with three. Play action, Winston looking, Winston throws, end zone right side, it's caught, touchdown, Chris Godwin. Winston with a strike, 20-yard BB from Winston. And the Buccaneers regain the lead. So the ball is now spotted at the 1.5 yard line on second and long. Now they'll go to the run. And a Barber is brought down in the end zone. Luke Kuechly. Carolina gets points on the board from its defense. It's fourth and one inside the two. Panthers trail by six. Pistol formation. Newton with McCaffrey behind him. Newton moves over. Direct snap to McCaffrey. McCaffrey trying to loop to the left. Can't get there. But did he get to the first down marker? The Buccaneers believe they've stopped him. Hargraves makes the tackle. Tampa Bay is celebrating. No gain for McCaffrey.
And that's how week two of the NFL started out, with Tampa Bay going on the road and beating the Carolina Panthers 20-14. Jameis Winston's pitiful. Cam Newton is a shell of his former self. He can't run. He's only a 58% completion percentage as a quarterback, with a lot of those on dump offs. Man, Saints have a shot if they can keep it rolling to just wrap up this division pretty quick. Anyway, that was the start of week two. We got a start of a Football Friday for you and yours. CD in the Master Control Suite in the 237 Roof Studios on the campus of Delta Media, KLWB, 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com. Yours truly, Studio 1A, as we rock and roll. So, as we do each and every Friday, we get things started with the always important weather forecast. So we welcome in Chris Cozart, meteorologist for KLFY in Lafayette, for another weather update. We've got Friday night in Acadiana, all the high school football games. Chris, good afternoon. Thanks for the time, big guy. So what are we looking at tonight for the high schoolers?
Well, pretty much what we had there last Friday night. It will be a little warm and humid, but no threat for any rainfall or anything of that sort. The kids just need to hydrate here.
Awesome. All right. Saturday, we've got 2:30 kickoffs. The Raging Cajuns at home at Cajun Field. The Tigers in Tiger Stadium. What are we looking like for that?
Well, pretty much the same forecast. It's pretty easy right now. So what we see tonight, if you're out there at those high school games, that's what you can expect at Cajun Field and over in Death Valley as well. It'll be a little warm and sticky, you know, to begin the game with, but once that sun sets, everything kind of starts to cool off from there. And again, we're looking at about 10 to 20% chance of rain.
All right. Chris Cozart, KLFY meteorologist. The Saints travel out west to L.A. Palm trees, sunshine, the Pacific Ocean. Is it going to be a glorious day in La La Land?
it actually looks a little hot for them. We're looking at temperatures over there on the West Coast in the lower 90s. But, you know, the Saints are used to it, even though they play in the dome. So, overall, again, being in California, they don't have to worry about rainfall. But it'll be a little hotter than normal over there, 92 okay. for a high on Sunday.
All right, let me put you to work here. We've got something brewing out there in the tropics. So should we be fearful of something? And are we going to get some rain maybe as early as Sunday from whatever is out there?
No, we don't have anything to worry about that. The models over the last couple of days have really trended eastward on that. In fact, keeps it well out of the Gulf now. The areas, unfortunately, that were impacted by Dorian could see, you know, tropical storm force winds and heavy rains, and it could be just east of Florida, but no threat for that to reach the Gulf. We will see better rain chances here in our area Sunday and Monday, but not because of that.
Okay. Chris Kozar, KLFY, always appreciate the time. So it's going to be hot, but I'll take hot over the rain any day in the week, buddy. Thank you so much for our weekly Friday update.
You got it. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Chris Kozar, KLFY. So, high school football tonight, the Tigers and the Cajuns, as per the norm, right? Doesn't expect any rain, which is good. So, should be a fast track for all of them. Again, LSU taking on Northwestern State, 6:30 in Tiger Stadium. The Cajuns taking on Texas Southern, the Tigers, at 6:30 at Cajun Field, and the Saints out in L.A. taking on the Rams. That is the second, that's the afternoon game, the late afternoon game in the TV window starting a little bit after 3 o'clock, the Saints and the Rams. So we've got all that for you. Good news on Devin White, who got taken out of the game, thought he was done, but apparently it's encouraging. Bruce Arians, his head coach, referred to Devin White as day-to-day. So that's really good news, unlike what Darius Geis heard when he's going to be out for quite a while with that meniscus situation. So the Buccaneers dodge a bullet. So that's good news. Look, this is not a good weekend of college football. It's just not. It's LSU's going to roll. The Raging Cajuns are going to roll. If they take care of their business, don't overlook anything. But, again, this is the great opportunity to play as many players as you can. Get those guys. Keep those guys happy. Right? John Emery, Davis Price, keep them happy. Give them the ball. Run that triumvirate of running backs. Get that Levi Lewis out of the game. Get your backup quarterback in. Get Miles Brennan in. But both teams want to play to a standard. Where, you know, it's like John Wooden used to say, we don't scout the other team. We do what we do. And if we do and execute what we do to our best, we don't care what the other team does. We will win. So that's the mindset that you have to take into this. It's all about what LSU does. It's all about what the Raging Cajuns do. Execute at a high level. Do what you do. And then play everybody. Play everybody. It is Friday the 13th. We have no superstitions here. Happy birthday shout out to the boss, Mr. Chuck Wood, our legendary general manager, the leader of Delta Media and KLWB and 103.7 The Game. I hope he's having a great one. Maybe he's on the golf court. No, he works too hard. But he loves him some golf, and he loves him some music, and he loves him some sports. And we're thankful that he is guiding the ship. So if you see Chuck Wood today, if you know Chuck Wood, you got his number, you got his email, you got his Twitter or his Facebook, give him a shout out. Tell the young man happy birthday. All right? Tell him happy birthday. Let me see what we have in store for you and yours. It's a typical Friday, so the regular guests start shuffling in. The Crowley Kid, Jim Nickel, will join us shortly. Give us the Nickel Report, everything you want to know about the lovely university in Natchitoches, Louisiana. Another edition of Jordy and the Judge. Doug Morrow, the former All-American, now in the booth for 40 years as the color analyst on the LSU Sports Radio Network. The Tigers and the Demons, you'll hear it right here on 103.7 The Game. pregame at 4:30. Game starts at 6:30. Doug will join us, and we'll talk about the Texas game, and we'll look ahead to this one. And we'll start off hour number two with George Faust, sports director of KLFY. We'll talk about the marquee matchups in high school football tonight, his thoughts on the Raging Cajuns, and his thoughts on the Saints. Plus, Larry Holder of The Athletic stops by for his Friday visit, and we'll talk all things Saints. Can they exercise their demons? Can they get this thing finally? Look, you never forget, but you move on. But the fans, my gosh, the fans just won't let it go. So we'll see if we can get this thing out of the way. And with the way the Falcons have started, the way the Panthers look, and even though Tampa Bay got a win, they stink. They're not good. I mean, come on. NFC South, it's right there for you. Saints would love to win two out on the West Coast. The Rams Sunday, followed by the Seahawks. They're going to stay out on the West Coast. They're not coming back home. They'd love to get two, but to go 500 wouldn't be too shabby when you come back home to take on the Cowboys. And then, as per the norm, we'll give you Monday's headlines on a Friday. CD, George Becknell, and me. That's the lineup for you and yours. It's a football Friday. It's Chuck Wood's birthday. Doesn't get any better than that. The Nickel Report next. The Jordy Helpert Show, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
Are you looking for the latest updates on...
This is everything you need to know about the Tigers' opponent on Saturday. Time for the Nickel Report.
All right, I've always said before you go travel the country, you should get to know your own state. And this weekend's opponent for LSU comes from the great village known as Natchitoches. More on that in just a moment. Let's welcome in the one and only Mr. Jim Nickel. James, how are you today, sir?
Fantastic, fantastic. Looking forward to a great weekend and hopefully another Tiger win, and you know, yeah, it's another hot, toasty Friday. But that's okay. We'll get through this September heat and hope for some nice fall weather in October. But this is brutal. Brutal.
Yeah. Before we get to Saturday, let's go back a little bit. You had talked about how, just between you, me, and the fence post, you really wanted the Tigers to take care of business against Texas. They did in a thriller. How fun was that afterwards?
Well, it was a lot of fun, and I mean, you know, I just thought at the end of the first half, we kind of had our foot on their neck, and we were going to get the ball coming out in the second half and an ability to drive down and kind of take the wind out of their sails. And credit Texas, they didn't let that happen. And as a result, you know, we ended up with a whale of a ball game. I credit Ellinger for that. He played really, really well.
Yes,
I think you and I talked about how good their receivers were. So, you know, it was one for the books. Wow. What a great, great win for LSU and a great football game for the whole country to watch.
I knew on 3rd and 17 you were up in the booth calling for a pass play. I knew you were.
No, I was having Les Miles flashbacks of let's run the pitch, dive three times and punt it and hope to win. That's what we would have done, and we'd have lost. So, you know, we did the right thing. We kept slinging it, and we won the ball game. So.
Played to win. Did not play not to lose, and I love that aspect of it. Okay, this is one of those. Let's do our friends to the north a little favor. We'll give them a nice check. We'll get a win, but let's get busy now. Here's everything you need to know about Northwestern State University.
Northwestern State University, located in Natchitoches, Louisiana, founded in 1884. Of course, all Jordy Holtberg listeners know LSU was founded in 1860. It started out as the Louisiana State Normal School, and it was built to train teachers and was the first school in Louisiana to offer a degree program in nursing and in business education. They've got about 11,000 students there. The Louisiana School for Math and Science and Arts, which is the premier high school in the state, is located on their campus. Of course, we said they're located in Natchitoches. Natchitoches is famous for a couple of things. One being the Christmas festival. They got a whale of a Christmas festival. And then what movie was shot in Natchitoches, your favorite movie of a lot of Southerners, particularly Southern women, what movie would that be?
Ooh.
Steel Magnolias was filmed in Natchitoches.
Okay.
So in 1922, they decided to put together athletic teams in Natchitoches at Northwestern. They had a contest. The students all were open to get into the contest to name the team, and the winner would win a whopping $10. They went through a lot of names: Braves, Sharks, Daredevils, Musketeers, Pelicans, Groundhogs, Bloodhounds, Cyclops, Serpents. Looking at that list, thankfully, Demons was the one selected, and that's how they became the Northwestern Demons. Their mascot is Vic the Demon, and Vic is short for victory, which probably won't happen on Saturday night.
No.
So, unfortunately, Northwestern's also known for a pretty tragic event in the history of American music. Jim Croce, Bad Bad Leroy Brown, a number of very, very popular tunes. He had scheduled a concert at Northwestern when he was a relatively unknown singer. The concert was canceled. He said, look, I'm sorry I can't get there. I promise I will come back. He subsequently became the top recording artist in America, and to his credit, kept his promise and went back to Natchitoches. Unfortunately for him, it ended up in a very tragic plane crash. After playing at Northwestern and being one of the biggest music stars in America playing in Natchitoches, his plane clipped a tree taking off out of Natchitoches, and he and everybody on board was killed. And that was in 1973, almost to the date now, September 20th, 1973, Jim Croce. Famous attendees are graduates, Gerald Long, the current president pro tem of the Senate, the old Speedy Long, the congressman, Huey's cousin, who was maybe crazier than Huey and Earl put together. Craig Nall, a familiar name, signed with LSU, ended up playing there. Bobby Hebert, the leader of the Who Dat Nation, the former LSU quarterback, Saints quarterback, played there. Joe Delaney, another tragic story. 1981, Rookie of the Year in the NFL for the Chiefs. 2 years later, Joe dies trying to save three children that were drowning, and Joe died, and he's still, to this day, remembered very fondly in Kansas City. He was an attendee at Northwestern. Game notes, LSU's 15-0 against all Southland Conference teams. We never lost a team from that conference. We're 135-25-8 against all Louisiana schools, and LSU has won 30 straight games against in-state opponents. And I think after Saturday night, tomorrow night, it'll be 31. Hopefully the Tigers put together a solid game plan. We don't lose anybody, and we move on to the next opponent. And that is the Northwestern Nickel Report.
Maybe an unfair question, but can you spell Natchitoches?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Natchitoches. I think it's how you spell it.
Very good. Very good. Jim Croce, we've been playing some of the music underneath. Big Bad Leroy Brown, Don't Mess Around with Jim. Operator, I've Got a Name. I mean, how good was he? God.
He was huge, and that's a true story. He was an unknown when he canceled that. He did not have to go back. As a matter of fact, I'm sure his managers are like, look, you don't need to go back to that little podunk town. I mean, you're big now. To his credit, he said, no, I promised those people I'd come back. I got to go back. And unfortunately, he died there in North Louisiana. But, you know, that's I don't know if you've ever been in Natchitoches. Great town.
Oh, yes.
Large Catholic community, kind of different in North Louisiana, bigger Catholic community than you would find in Shreveport or Monroe. All along the river there, the people are very nice. It's a nice town, and I think their team is struggling a little bit right now football-wise. But they'll come down, and we'll play a football game tomorrow night. Hopefully the Tigers will come out on top and start moving forward. Schedule sets up nicely. We've got some injuries on defense. Mm-hmm. We've got some guys we need to sit. And thankfully, we've got this game and Vandy, which shouldn't be too much of a challenge, hopefully, on the road.
And then
a bye, and then Utah State. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's a month from now before we play Florida here at home. And that's a month to get a lot of people healthy. So when you have a successful season, you got to have two things. One, you got to be a good team. And two, you got to have a little luck. And I think we lucked out with this schedule. We lucked out with two open dates and with the stretch here where we can get healthier and get sharper. But what a win in Austin, and what a performance. And, you know, everybody's talking about Joe Burrow. I thought Joe Burrow was amazing. There's no doubt about it. But let's look at every facet of this football team. So we didn't punt a lot, but when we did, we punt well. We kick off well. We kick field goals well.
Yep.
We didn't tackle very well, and I'm not one to complain, but Kalamon Chasson was held on almost every play of the game. And until they tackled him, did they call a holding on on Texas. But I'm not worried about our defense. I think we're going to get better and better. And I'm very, very much looking forward to a nice run here by the Tigers.
Did Jim Nickel make an appearance in the LSU locker room? If so, I want the debate to be settled here and now. Was there truly air condition, no air condition, air condition that wasn't very cold? What was there?
Well, you and I used to do it together, right? We get there on the bus, and we kind of check out the locker room, go on the field, and then go up to the press box. I don't know if there was air conditioning there or not. If it was, it wasn't working well. We were told by tech that it didn't work well. Greg Stringfellow and those guys had picked up some of those blowers you use to dry your house out after a flood. Those were put up on a bunch of equipment boxes to keep the air moving. But certainly, and the locker room was very disjointed. It wasn't one big room. It was like a room, and then you had about 20 players there. And then the coaches' dressing room is in the back, the training room where Jack Marucci and Brent Banks and those guys tape everybody up. That was towards the back, very hot, very stuffy, very uncomfortable. And I will tell you, the press box was substandard. It is not SEC standard press box. One restroom, there were 300 people for the press there, biggest game in the country. And there was one bathroom with one toilet and one urinal for the men. There was constantly a line. We were right next to Herb Street and Reese Davis. I mean, literally, we were in the box right next to him. The box for network television, very small and very cramped. I don't know if you've ever seen the one you have, the one at Tiger Stadium. When we get a premier network that comes to Tiger Stadium, they have an outstanding room to broadcast the game from. Not the case. Texas has a long way to go to catch up on facilities throughout their stadium, not just the locker room.
And that's why we have the Nickel Report, firsthand, true information. We are working here on the staff. There's a bye week coming up. We're trying to raise some money so we can give your staff a paid vacation during that bye week. We're working on it. We'll get back to you on that one. And then, of course, we will we'll talk about Nashville and Vandy next week. But, Jim, thank you, and enjoy, as they say, Fork'em Demons. Fork'em Demons.
Huh? Well, thank you so much. All the best to you and your listeners for a great weekend, and we'll talk next week.
He is Jim Nickel, the Nickel Report. Yes, indeed, brought to you by ShopRite Tobacco Plus Discount Outlets. If you can't shop right at ShopRite, you can't shop right at all. Jordy and the Judge, Doug Morrow, next.
Time to talk Tigers with former All-American Doug Morrell. All rise! It's another edition of Jordy and the Judge.
Yes, indeed. Football Friday continues. Doug Morrell, the color analyst on the LSU Sports Radio Network, after a stellar career at LSU, a stellar career in the legal world, and now doing a great job as always on the radio. Doug, kind enough to join us again. Doug, that was quite a show in Austin a week ago. Welcome to the show. Great to have you, buddy. That was something, man.
Thank you, Jordy. I tell you, for people that just kind of like to watch football, or people that like to play Madden, and I've never played Madden, but the LSU-Texas game was like one of those video football games where it was just filled with spectacular, unbelievable plays. Both teams had good defensive players, but they couldn't stop the offense. Mm-hmm. And the second half, I mean, was just as exciting as you can imagine. And I imagine the fans who were there, particularly the LSU fans, came away very happy. The Texas fans did not come away very happy. But they should be satisfied with the effort of their team. Because I'll tell you, Texas really has a very good team, and they're going to have a great season.
I'm with you. You know, we played Miami a year ago to start the season, and their whole season kind of fell apart after LSU dismantled them. I don't see that happening with Texas, to your point. I think they're talented. They're going to be just fine.
I'll tell you, you know, I mean, as defensive-minded as LSU likes to pretend that it is, and it is. LSU's got good defensive players, but they just couldn't get to the Texas passer. They missed some tackles. Texas wasn't very deep in the running back position, but they still broke tackles of good LSU players. It was one of those games where the offense just was going to do better than the defense on both sides. And both quarterbacks had spectacular games. Sam Ellinger, I thought, was better than people gave him credit for.
Agreed.
And Joe Burrow continues to improve. I mean, he's just stellar.
Yeah, Doug Morrow kind enough to join us. Not to steal a cliche, but LSU seems to me they've gone from 3 yards in a cloud of dust to a basketball acronym. They look like Loyola Marymount on grass. I mean, this offense, the tempo, the speed, the athleticism, the utilization of your athletes, it's just, wow, what a transformation.
And, you know, you don't pay too much attention to it, except that Coach O yesterday was talking about Stephon Sullivan and how they're going to have to work him into the offense because he's very, very talented. And he is very talented. The problem is there's so many people. First game of the year, Burrow completed passes to 14 different people. In this group, last week against Texas, there were three receivers who caught for over 100 yards and well over 100 yards each. And I think there was one ball dropped among the entire group of passes thrown. What was Burrow, 31 of 39, somewhere around there?
Yeah.
That's a fantastic percentage, particularly under pressure. And some of the throws that he had to make to fit into real tight windows in places where Texas had very good defenders, LSU just had better receivers. And it happened the same way when Texas had the ball. LSU had very good defenders. Texas just had receivers that beat them every now and then. So it was a fun game to watch. It was a fun game to call, and one that I think gives LSU the opportunity to choose for themselves how good they want to be. But it's going to be up to them because they're going to be tough games down the road. The one coming this weekend is not one of those.
No. Before we get to that,
can become one if you take it too lightly.
Yeah. Before we get to that one. What do you say about the defense? Very rarely do you see an LSU. And you mentioned earlier, it was just one of those days. The offense, Ellinger is good. They got talented players. A lot of missed tackles. Some uncharacteristic trademarks of an LSU defense. What concerns do you have, if any?
Well, I do have some concerns, and I think the LSU coaches have some concerns. Because they never could get in a position where they could deliver the knockout punch against Texas. Texas, you know, would get them in a third down situation and they would make the third down. Long passes. And what they did, actually, in the second half is where Texas really shined offensively. They would run the ball enough where we could not drop everybody back. We were rushing four guys. And, you know, just trying to hem in Ellinger and keep him from escaping out of the pocket, which in retrospect may not have been the best strategy to have because he's a great passer. Well, if you went ahead and rushed him and made him run, he's also a great runner, but at least you could get him fatigued and you could get a shot or two on him downfield, which is going to further affect your quarterback. That may just be a matter of strategy, but, you know, to answer your question, I think more directly, what happens in most games, baseball is the only exception, because in baseball, the team that has the ball cannot score. They're playing defense.
Right.
And they got a pitcher out on the mound, but the team that has the ball in baseball can't score. In every other sport I know of, the team that has the ball can score. Uh-huh. And so what happens is that if you can dictate by your manipulation of where the ball goes, how many people get the ball in their hands, what it looks like to the defense, if you can manipulate that and do it just enough to make a play every third play, you can score on every drive. And that's what Texas did the second half. And that's what LSU couldn't stop. Tigers have really good cornerbacks, made some really good plays, and Texas just had receivers that would go up and make great catches. Derek Stingley, you know, he proved, look, he's a star already. in the second game of his freshman year. He made some great plays against Colin Johnson, who is one of the best receivers in college football. Devin DuVernay, the little sprinter, Texas 6A 100-meter sprint champ, and he proved it by making great catch after great catch, and then he's a tough runner and ran over a lot of defenders after he made catches, scored touchdowns on several occasions, and really showed that Texas has receivers. I don't think they have as many as we have, but they have the same quality collectively as what we have. And with that, what happens is when the team that has the ball has a good quarterback and good receivers, they're going to be able to score some points. And the defense, unless you were spectacular and you can overwhelm the opposition, you got to get ready to outscore them. Because in modern-day football, it's different now than it was back in the day when I played. Defense was the name of the game. You know, if you scored 10 points, you were expected to win a game.
That's right.
Nowadays, with all the kind of offenses they have and all the talented players and all the coaching that quarterbacks get from a very young age, and they grow up in high school, you know, running the offense that LSU and Texas are running right now. So they know how to do it by the time they get to college. And they do it, and they did it Saturday night. But it is fun to watch, particularly if you win.
Doug Morrow joining us. We talked about the offense. We talked about the defense. What nobody really talks about, but I think deserves a lot of credit, LSU special teams are really, really good. Again, we don't punt it that often, but when we do, that Von Rosenberg can boom it. And knock on wood, that doesn't seem to be much of a drop-off from Cole Tracy to Cade York.
Look, I talk about it a lot because I think it's extremely important. Avery Atkins, I don't think he's had a kick returned against him on kickoffs yet. He was through the end zone a number of times on the kickoffs against Texas. So when you, and particularly when DuVernay, who is their kick returner, I mean, when I say he's the Texas sprint champion, he truly is. Like, he's a great sprinter and a tough runner. And you don't want a guy like that to get the ball in his hands on a kickoff because he's got a lot of field to run to. And so kicking the ball through the end zone is a pretty effective weapon against him. So Avery Atkins, a big, big weapon for LSU. Cade York is, and I don't want to short Cole Tracy, but he did not have the distance or the explosiveness that Cade York already has. As great a kicker as Cole Tracy was last year, and he was great. Cade York is going to be just a bigger, more skilled version of him. He's only a freshman, but he's really outstanding. And of course, Zach Von Rosenberg, pretty good athlete. Yeah. Major league, or whether he played in the majors, I'm not sure. A baseball player, and goes back to school and learns how to punt. After wanting to be a tight end, and he figured, you know, pretty good punter. And he's become a pretty good punter, averaging about 50 yards a punt. So when you have the kicking game, and the kicking game is one-third of football, but actually a good kicking game is about 40% of football because you can control field position, you can score points off of it, you can dictate the tempo. So LSU is very rich in that portion of the game.
All right, Doug Morrow, the color analyst on the LSU Sports Radio Network. 6:30 kickoff, Tiger Stadium, LSU versus Northwestern State. I mean, I said this, if you have a bruise or a hangnail, you're sitting this one out. But I know you can't overlook anyone. But what is LSU trying to accomplish in a game like this?
Well, one of the things that they can do, I think, is to let a lot of people play.
They're
going to start their starters. But they had some injuries. You play a team like Texas, and I'm sure Texas had some injuries too. But LSU's got two or three guys defensively who probably are not going to play. A couple of them definitely are not going to play. And so you play the guys who play behind them. And they get some experience playing against. And LSU, I think, if they prepare properly – and they play hard, they're going to discover, which is not going to be much of a discovery, that the team they're playing this coming Saturday is not quite as good as the team they played last Saturday. So it's going to seem easier when you're playing football, you're going to be able to do some things that you couldn't get away with against Texas. So when you put in your second guys and give them some experience, all of a sudden they gain confidence, they gain experience, and so the next week they're a better athlete. It happened to LSU's team last year. Throughout the entire season, they ended up having to play second guys, and the second guys by the end of the season became the first guys. Mm-hmm. And the ones who were came back for this year are really good first guys. And so that's, you know, that's kind of how LSU has built its depth. That's how everybody does it. And you know, that what I expect that coaches will try to do is to give a lot of players playing time, give Stephon Sullivan an opportunity to catch some passes, get in the mix, you know, let him become one of those great receivers, and he can be that if he just has the opportunity. Yeah. They have a couple of other guys who are going to be that too. I mean, they have so many talented receivers. Yeah. It's just phenomenal. Never seen so many in one school.
And this is when you lecture John Emery's feel good about themselves and the Southern Lab freshman running back Davis, and you give them the football and you let them feel better about themselves. If anybody's ever listened to this show before, they know that I hate these kind of games, but after a game like Texas, I welcome this kind of game because that was just a physical. Who says the Big 12 doesn't? Maybe they don't play much defense, but, boy, they hit hard, and they've got great athletes. So I welcome this kind of a game, and it does. It keeps those guys that were really highly, highly recruited that realize that the leap from high school football to college football may be a little bit bigger than they thought, but this keeps them in the mix, as you said, keeps them feeling good, keeps them happy, gets everybody happy, and to move on to bigger and better things from here.
And I'll tell you one thing that people, I think, will come to realize during the season. I believe this is going to be true. Texas is going to be unique in the Big 12 because they are the team that plays really hard defense, you know, and that hits and gang tackles and has big, strong guys who are fast, much more so than the average team. Most teams in that conference play great offense, and they can score a lot, but they also give up a lot of points. And Texas gave up a lot of points, but they gave it up to a great LSU offensive team. Texas is going to be very good this year. They're going to surprise some people, I think. I wouldn't be surprised if they made it all the way to the end, even beating Oklahoma. Yeah. Although Oklahoma's going to be tough because they've got that quarterback.
Yeah, makes up for
who goes around the nation winning national championships for their various teams. So, but Northwestern is not of the category that Texas is.
No. Doug Moore, kind enough to join us again. 6:30 kickoff, LSU versus Northwestern State. What would your coaches have called with a lead and less than 4 minutes left to play on a 3rd and 17? What would that play have been called?
Well, of course, you know what I would have called as a crossing route to the slot back with a great quarterback putting the ball in the midst of about three defenders. Look, that's a great play that was executed. That one play kind of proved the point of the entire game, and that is when you have great athletes who make great plays against other great athletes, the team with the ball has the advantage because they're the ones who can score. And that's what happened, you know. That it's easy to do. It's very difficult to do. What a great play on 3rd and 17, though. A great call by LSU's Steve Ensminger and Joe Brady, and a great execution by Joe Burrow and Justin Jefferson.
Does this make sense to you? I've always said this. A coach will draw up all the plays out there. Yeah, you want to do three wide, you want to throw it all over the place. That's great. That's great. But you got to prove to the coaches that you can – execute it and perform it. And I think that's what's happened here. I think they've given this canvas to the players. The players have shown they can make the plays, that they enjoy doing this. It's productive. It gets results. And therefore, the coaches are now much more confident in adverse conditions of calling those plays and letting those players execute them.
They are, Jordy. You know, one of the things that the game Saturday showed everybody is that both teams have NFL quality receivers. And that's important because you see guys making one-hand catches. You see guys who are catching the ball with their hands instead of having to have the ball thrown to their body. And you see them doing it over and over and over again. And it makes the offense so effective, and it makes it so difficult to defend, because you can have a cornerback, and LSU's got great cornerbacks, but a quarterback who will high point the ball and let his receiver go after it, the coaches are much more inclined to call plays that let him do that. Because what you're letting your good players do is to make great plays. And a great offensive play is going to beat the great defensive play in the passing game. That's just the nature of the game. That's why coaches have all gone to the spread offense, because it gives them a chance to make plays that you can't make just running into the middle of the line, because everybody's got linemen now. You know, at least the big boys have linemen. So you have to have a passing game component, and LSU's got it, and that's what it showed last weekend.
He is Doug Morrow. He'll be on the call of the game with Chris Blair Saturday night, 6:30, Tiger Stadium. Enjoy the ball game. Always fun talking to you on a Friday, Doug. Thank you so much.
Great talking to you, Jordy. Have a good weekend, bud.
All right, buddy. We'll see you there. Doug Morrow, Jordy, and the Judge. Back to wrap up hour number one next. Keep that music going, CD. That was Eddie Money. Got his two tickets to paradise. Eddie Money passed away today at the age of 70. Some heart valve complications. One of his many hit songs. Two tickets to paradise. Let's play it. Passes away at the age of 70. An early happy birthday to the boss, Chuck Wood, music enthusiast, our boss. Happy birthday, boss. Hope you're having a great day. And thanks for your leadership each and every day to make this station the leader in Acadiana. And proud to be a part of it. Coming up, hour number two of the program, George Faust will join us. We'll talk about Friday night football in Acadiana, plus the Raging Cajuns waiting for Texas Southern. Larry Holder on the Saints against the Rams. And then CD, George Becknell, and I will give you Monday's headlines on a Friday. The Jordy Helfert Show. Hour number two straight ahead. 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pull off another miracle.
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans!
Streaming live on the 1037 The Game mobile app and online at 1037thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won!
This is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Hultberg.
No Friday the 13th superstitions here. Let's roll, baby. Let's roll. Friday night football in Acadiana. the Raging Cajuns hosting Texas Southern at 6:30 on Saturday at Cajun Field. He and his staff will be in attendance for all the big moments, and that is, of course, the sports director for KLFY, Mr. George Faust. Fridays with Faust here on the Jordy Helpert Show. Fausty, how are you, buddy?
Doing well, man. Doing well. Getting ready for another football weekend for sure.
Absolutely. All right, marquee matchups. How about Acadiana and Ruston? Wow. Some powerhouse clubs.
Yeah, absolutely. Acadiana just looks to be the team to beat in 5A all across the state, but definitely in District 3, 5A. You know, they got Keontae Williams as their quarterback at Acadiana High. And that name sounds familiar, not just because it's a popular name, but Keelan Williams.
Yes.
Remember Keelan? LSU,
yes.
Northside
yes.
High? Well, that's Keelan's son, and he is the starting quarterback in his sophomore year for the Wrecking Rams. So, they have a pretty solid attack. You know, Acadiana runs that veer, and they kind of they still run the veer 90% plus of the time, but they also can throw it now a little bit. They have the wide receivers play kind of a bigger role, but they still 90% plus they're running the ball, and they have a guy named Dylan Monette who has been unbelievable. He played great last week against Karen Crow, and he'll continue to do that. And so they also have another running back. His first name is Lucky, and that's all you really need to call him is Lucky, because he's just really good. And they take care of business on the offensive side. Obviously, with a team like that, they're able to control a game. And I think that this is a good matchup because obviously Ruston has some talent as well as up there in North Louisiana. But I think the Rams can take it at home at Bill Dawson Stadium there. So they have the best pregame, best food in the press box in any high school I've ever been in.
Oh, Fausty, leave the food alone. Leave it alone.
I can't.
George,
come on,
George Faust,
KLFY. You want George to show up? You want George to show up, you got to have good food in the press box.
Got to have the spread. How's the spread when Barb and St. Thomas More meet? That's another good matchup.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, I'll say to this day, I think Barb High School has one of the best press boxes in the history of high school football. And I'd put that up against any Texas team, too. It's very nice. Now, they're playing this at SPM. The Cougars have a pretty good setup as well. The spread's good. And you know what? On the offense, their spread's pretty good, too.
Right.
Caleb Holstein's the guy at quarterback who's kind of makes that offense tick. And Shane Savoy is their offensive coordinator. And one time I asked him, I said, it's 4th and 5, and you guys are going in. Like, you're maybe at the 40. You going for that? He goes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like,
I
they
love
the running gun, and they throw the ball, and I think you can expect look, STM's probably one of the most talented teams in the state in 4A, and they could compete in any level. And they have such great coaching. I mean, Jim mm-hmm. Hightower is their head coach, and he's been around, and he's a Hall of Famer. He's a Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer. So he's got the pedigree, so to speak, and this team is really built for a championship run. I really feel that way. I think they're going to be one of the teams we're talking about at the end of the year.
All right. They got so many quarterbacks, too. Jamie Howard's son already has an offer from LSU. Can't get off the pine yet. So that's something in high school football. We're talking with George Faust, KLFY. All right. The Raging Cajuns went back to doing what they should be doing, and that's running the football. Over 400 yards in a win over Liberty. Now Texas Southern comes to town. They can't stop you and me. It's going to be more of the ground and pound, right? I hope.
Yeah, I think that's where it starts. I from what I can tell from Coach Napier this week, he was very pleased with how the team played. You know, he talked a lot about, you know, you get 400 yards rushing on the ground, the offensive line's doing something right, right? We all figure, you know, the big guys up front must be taking care of business. The key to what Coach Napier was talking about this week is that he was pretty impressed with how the wide receivers were blocking and how that was allowing those long runs. Trey Regis had a 75-yard run for a touchdown. Raymond Calais had a 65-yard run, didn't go for a touchdown, but it did lead to a touchdown. So these long runs, he said, it's not only because of the offensive line, and they're doing a great job, but those wide receivers able to block on the outside as well, mm-hmm. allowing the running backs to get deep into the secondary. And that's huge. You got to continue to do that. I don't think they're going to have a problem. Now, Texas Southern does have a few star
transfers,
athletes, but yes. I don't think there's enough there to combat the total team of the Raging Cajuns, because the Cajuns have just, I mean, offensively, they're just going to be able to pound the ball. I have a feeling this is going to be over by halftime.
Wow. Which game's going to be over quicker, LSU or UL?
Yeah, they're both going to be over pretty quick, I think.
not exactly the greatest weekend of college football. So I'm concerned about the kicking game a little bit for the Cajuns. Stevie Arteague, perfect in extra points, but over when it comes to field goals.
Yeah, you know, Coach Napier addressed that too this week. He, you know, we brought it up to him and said, hey, does that concern you at all? And he's like, look, Stevie's got the mental makeup. You know, he can handle whatever we put at him. And sometimes what we see is the end result, right? We see the missed field goal to the wide right or whatever. Mm-hmm. He said a couple of times it wasn't necessarily on Stevie with regards to it was the snap or the hold or something like that. So he said there's a lot of different components that go into a missed field goal. And so Stevie's going to be just fine. He's a competitor. He's a mentally tough kid. You know, Jordy, at a kicking position, you have to be mentally tough, because people are going to always look at you and go, oh, you missed that. But, you know, who knows? Maybe the snap was too high, took an extra half second to put it down. You know, that messes with the kicker's motion, you know. So, but Napier says he's going to be fine and he's going to stick with him. And then they have capable guys at that position to kind of move forward if they need to.
We'll see if the Raging Cajuns do like Acadiana, and instead of kicking on 4th and 5, maybe they start going for it. That'll be the telltale sign. The coach can say all he wants because he's trying to send a message through the media to his player. But when the game's on the line, that's when we'll find out exactly how that coach feels about the kicking game.
That's very true. That's very true. You know, yeah, 4th and 5 when you're 35. Are you going to take a field goal or are you going to go for it? Yeah, or going in on your 35 there. That's true.
Yeah. Got to get your thoughts on the New Orleans Saints as they know LSU and UL are going to win. Saints, a different story as they head to L.A. to take on the Rams.
Yeah, this is an interesting game. I think it would be a lot more attractive if they were playing this game back in the dome again. But to the general public, I think. I think it's a revenge game. I know the players, they have their mindset of like, hey, you know, last year doesn't matter, whatever. But it matters to the fans. It matters to the people that follow the Saints and that love the Saints. And so I think it's one of these things where maybe the players don't admit it, but I think they want this game more than is being led on, from what I can tell. It's a revenge game. It really is. If there ever was a revenge game, I think this is one.
I'm with you 100%. George Faust, he's a busy man. He's got football Friday night in Acadiana. He'll have a crew covering the Tigers, the Raging Cajuns. KLFY is the place to be. To see it, to hear it, and to watch it. George, we always appreciate your time, buddy. Have a great weekend.
All right, Jordy, thanks so much. You have a great weekend, too.
Report on the press box, okay, and the grub. I want to report next week, okay?
I will make sure of that. I'll make sure of that.
And then tell me where you're going to be next Friday, and I'll plant the seed early, and we'll get that thing catered by Ruth Chris or something, Ruffino's, something like that.
Absolutely. We'll make that happen. I'll let you know.
We can work. We can make this work, George. I promise you, we can make it work. Fausty, have a great weekend. We greatly appreciate it. George Faust, Sports Director, KLFY. We'll continue our Football Friday coverage. Larry Holder of The Athletic on his thoughts on the rematch, the NOLA no call. Let's put that thing to bed once and for all. That's coming up next.
Taking the hottest topics out there and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Holtberg Show on 103.7 The Game.
All right, we continue our Football Friday coverage. Now let's delve into the New Orleans Saints, week two of the NFL. They'll head out to the West Coast to take on the LA Rams. I wonder what that game's going to be all about. But I tell you one thing, our next guest, Larry Holder of The Athletic, I don't know how he does it, but the camera always finds him. Every time I look up on the TV, there's Larry Holder. Good afternoon, my friend. How in the heck do you do that?
I don't know. I think that was a really bizarre circumstance over in Austin last weekend when, I'm literally just talking to Derek Finansi, and there I am just like creeping over Coach O's shoulder. And then I look like I'm stuck in the corner, like I'm punished, and then I'm in the shot with Joe Burrow. So I don't know, right places at the right time or wrong places wrong time.
I'm just glad your hair had grown out and that bet that you lost has long been in the rearview mirror. A hell of an exciting game, topped off by the Monday night matchup with the Saints and the Texans. What an exciting game that was. Not for the faint of heart. What was your biggest takeaway from the Saints' win?
Well, I mean, thankfully the officiating blunder did not prevent them, stop them from winning the game. I mean, hey, that's probably number one. But well, I think it was a good showing that the Saints kind of came out a little sleepy in that first half. They were able to rebound offensively for sure, so that was a good sign. On the other side, look, you look at defensively, the fact they got six sacks on the Deshaun Watson, that's certainly a plus, but that late game defense is definitely to be questioned. And I mean, we just got to think about last year, of course, the emotion of everything that happened with the no call, but the defense, look, they didn't stop the Rams from going down there, kicking a field goal to tie the game. And then, it was going to be a tough challenge after the pick to stop that. But still, if the defense stops them, they don't get overtime. So that's I think that's something that the Saints certainly need to focus on moving forward. And definitely for this game, because to me, I feel like this is a toss-up game against the Saints and the Rams.
Aren't you more willing to go up against a Jared Goff rather than a Deshaun Watson? Watson scares the heck out of me.
I think... you look at the way they play, and I do think that both are certainly young and capable quarterbacks. But it's once like in a game mode, like when Goff gets going, look out. But there could be games where he can struggle the entire time, and I feel like Deshaun Watson can really. He can maybe miss a couple of throws here and there, but then all of a sudden be great. So I'm kind of in your boat too. Yeah, that's like, man, even though I think Goff is a good quarterback, I think Deshaun Watson might scare me a little bit more. And, you know, they were at least able to slow him down a little bit at times.
He's just a little bit more elusive and he can run a little bit, man, but he's really, really good. Drew Brees does it again. I mean, just another, 37 seconds isn't too little a time to stop him. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's funny when Will Lutz kicks the field goal for the Saints to go up six, I'm thinking, oh, God, 50 seconds, that might be too much time. Then they only needed 13 seconds to go down and score. But I'm sure Bill O'Brien was also thinking, man, 37 seconds, one timeout. That is enough time for Drew Brees to get this done. And it just goes to show you how much they practice situational football. I can't tell you how many times in practice I've seen them do this scenario. Someone mm-hmm. catches the football, they tap the ground and say, hey, I'm down, end the play.
Yep.
I've seen the Saints do that so many times, say, in training camp practices because of this one situation, and they certainly won situational football. So, you know, if it gets down to it at the Coliseum, I think they could, you know, they're certainly capable of getting the job done if some play comes up that maybe they practice once or twice in practice. They try to touch every situation they can when they're preparing for these
attention.
Games.
Attention to detail. What's the better opportunity to get a win out west, the Rams on Sunday or the Seahawks the following weekend?
Ooh, I'm still going to say the Seahawks. And the environments are certainly different. The home field advantage is a real thing in Seattle with the way the crowd goes. I just don't think that Seattle is as good. I mean, it's just plain and simple as that. And, you know, I think no matter the venue, I would say Saints-Rams would be a toss-up, whether it's the Dome or whether it's the Coliseum. And yet, you know, I think for the Saints' sake, too, I mean, they're gonna be out in Seattle. They don't have to worry about the travel there. They'll be there the entire week leading up to the game. So I think Seattle is, despite the crowd and the advantage there, I think that's a more feasible place to actually pick up a win because I just think the Saints are just better straight up than the Seahawks.
I'm with you. Larry Holder of The Athletic, kind enough to join us here today. Boy, the NFC South, golly, you got Jameis Winston looks bad. Cam Newton looks worse. Can you believe that? What's happened with Cam?
I think he's not healthy. I mean, I think that's part of the situation. I think something, you know, he's dealt with ankle and shoulder injuries. I just think he's not right. I just think on the other side, I just don't buy Jameis Winston. I mean, I think when Cam gets going, Cam can be a very good quarterback. I mean, he won the MVP. That wasn't a fluke. Like, he deserved to win the MVP award that year. I mean, he just did. And so we've never seen it from Jameis.
No, but do you think, I mean, it could Cam Newton go by the way of Andrew Luck? I mean, he's hurt all the time. He has no joy out there. He doesn't smile, doesn't talk to anybody. My goodness. I mean, if there's ever a guy that's going to follow in the footsteps of Andrew Luck, to me, it's Cam Newton.
I think that's a really good point. You know, it's not like Cam Newton would be hurting financially, you know, if he ever wanted to do that. Do I know if that's the case? Who knows? But still, it's because at some point you call it quits. I mean, you do. So it's certainly something that, if say this season goes and it just keeps dragging and he saw what Andrew Luck did, or maybe he leaves and takes a year or two off and just says, hey, I want to get my body right, mind right, and if I want to come back, I will. If I don't, I don't. So, that, Jordy, that's actually a pretty an interesting scenario that I haven't really thought about, but you see it, and, you know, Cam's a sharp guy. You know, he's even though sometimes he can act like a goof, just being goofy and things like that, but I do think he's a sharp guy who I think will be successful in life after football, just like Andrew Luck could. So that's an interesting scenario.
I'm going to figure out a way. That's going to be my Halloween costume, that scarf with the hair poking out of it. That's going to be my look come October 31st. What do you think?
I think Cam Newton might end up being like one of the fashion critics on like E!
And
like Joan Rivers' old seat. Maybe he'll do that and he'll like judge all the red carpet stuff. I mean, that might be what his next calling is.
Gee whiz, you got to have some as Nick Saban says, D's nuts, right? You got to have some D's nuts for that. Wow, unbelievable. Larry Holder, The Athletic, kind enough to join us. What defense should I be more concerned about? LSU's defense or the Saints' defense?
Oh boy. I think both will improve. I just think, let's see. LSU, I feel like they're not going to play Sam Ellinger every week. So I think that's That's one
thing. Thank goodness.
Yeah, there's not too many quarterbacks left on their schedule that really going to put the fear in you. And so I guess in that sense, maybe you say the Saints, but like, I think their defense will improve steadily from week one and week two and moving forward, and we saw that a good bit last year. And I think we'll see it again. You look going to this game, David Onyemata is going to be back. He was suspended last week for 1 week, so I think that will help the middle of that defensive line. And then as Sheldon Rankin gets healthier and Marvell Edwards gets healthier, you know, that area will be beefed up. And you just kind of scratch and claw and try to get wins. They got one last week. So I don't know if I'd be overly concerned about either, but if you're going to pose one or the other, I would just say the Saints, because they will face quality opponents and quality quarterbacks, right?
He is Larry Holder of The Athletic. He joins us each and every Friday. We're greatly appreciative of it. Thank you, my friend. Have a great weekend.
All right, Jordy. Talk to you next week, buddy.
All right, buddy. You take care. Larry Holder, kind enough to join us, brought to you by Peterbilt. Peterbilt of Louisiana in Baton Rouge, Lafayette, Lake Charles, and New Orleans. It's the truck driver's dream to own the best in the business. Reliable, dependable, great resale value. When the Tigers travel, they travel with a Peterbilt truck. We'll be back. It's time for Monday's headlines on a Friday here on the Jordy Helfrich Show. 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
The Blonde Bomber is back, and better than ever, as you're locked into the Jordy Helfrich Show on 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the free mobile app.
All right, this segment of the Jordy Helfrich Show on a Football Friday brought to you by DC's Little Capital Exxon, I-10 at the Henderson-Cecilia exit in Brobridge for all your travel needs. They've got everything, plus that true soul food deli tucked away in the corner with the best cheeseburger you'll ever, ever consume. DC's Little Capital Exxon, my go-to stop. Make it yours as well. I-10 at the Henderson-Cecilia exit in Brobridge. We give you Monday's headlines on a Friday as we welcome the tripod back. CD, say hello to everybody again.
What's going on, everybody?
George Becknell, same to you.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? How we doing?
All right, and yours truly. So I pose this question before we get to the headlines of this coming Monday. What was the headline that you gave us last Friday that you're most proud of today? George, starting with you.
George, if I'm being 100% honest with you, I'm equally as disappointed in all of my headlines that I gave you guys last week. They were all terrible. But what I am excited about is I was loving Joe Burrow's wave to the Texas crowd. So he was also waving goodbye to all my headlines from last week because they were all 100% off. But
I love your candor and your honesty. But today's another day. Today's another day, so we'll see what you have to say. All right, CD, what about you?
I enjoyed a lot of mine, Jordy, but I'm not like George. Like I was definitely accurate for the most part, but honestly, a lot of them just kind of fell a little flat to me after kind of looking at the game as a whole.
All right, the one I'm most proud of was my headline saying O gets the last laugh, and he got the last laugh over Tom Herman. I promise you. In the friendly confines, when he's alone with his wife, he's going, yeah, they thought they wanted Tom Herman, but they got me, and they got the better coach. So he did get the last laugh. All right. That's just my thought. So let's fire away, and let's see how we're going to come out this weekend. George, your first headline for this coming Monday is?
From the newspaper in Kansas. Less is more. After a less than stellar offensive performance by the Kansas Jayhawks last week against Coastal Carolina in a loss, the Jayhawks repeat their dismal offensive performance by passing for a total of 27 yards in a blowout loss to Boston College 31-3. After the game, Coach Miles was asked about his passing offense and responded, "I like to run the football, and I don't care if there's 8 to 9 people in the box," end quote.
Oh, you can't change that. You just can't change the spots on that leopard, can you? You just can't do it.
You take it for who he is. That's it.
Less, less, less. All right. Very well done. CD, your first headline.
And George went with the Les Miles headline. I'll stick with LSU to start things off with my headline, and it is Miles Ahead. It's not going to be the front page. It'll wind up being a little sidebar on Sunday's paper. Miles Ahead, because Miles Brennan in the second half looked like he was on another level with that spread offense up against Northwestern State. Yes, it was against the Demons, but it shows that Miles Brennan maybe, just maybe, can be the next guy in line to follow Joe Burrow, and you don't have that much of a drop-off.
Very good. I hope that is the case. Maybe even Peter Parrish gets in this ballgame. Why not? You've got the redshirt rule, right? You get to play in four games, and if you stop there, you don't lose a year. So this is the game to play them all. My first headline is 600K equals 800. And you're going, what the heck is he talking about? LSU's going to pay Northwestern State $600,000 to come play a football game. Now, they can travel the day of the game because it's a couple-hour drive from Natchitoches to Baton Rouge. They don't have to stay in a hotel. They get to keep all the money, $600,000, to support their athletic department. And LSU's guaranteed to get their 800th win in program history. So 600K equals 800. In a laugher. Okay, George, headline number two is?
Revenge. So the New Orleans Saints travel to Los Angeles to play the Rams. And in a thrilling game, the Saints come out on top. Which surprisingly, the Saints kick a game-winning field goal. But before the game-winning field goal, there's a controversial call. Breeze tries to hit Mike Thomas over the middle. Mike Thomas gets hit before the ball gets there. No flag. But this year, Sean Payton has a challenge flag. They do indeed rule that it's pass interference, and the New Orleans Saints go on to win the game.
Wow. Another controversial call, but it goes the Saints' way. Wouldn't that be fitting? Why didn't the NFL put this game on their Thursday night season opener?
I don't know. They should have. It's better than a Sunday 4 o'clock game, I promise. It's going to be a great game.
All right, George. We hope you're right on that one. CD, headline number two is?
I like the revenge angle there, George, but I'm going to go with a little more sophomoric headline, and I think why not consider Nick Saban loves saying it. D's Lutz is going to be the headline that reads in the paper on Monday. Will Lutz coming up clutch once again, not necessarily at the buzzer, but a late field goal will secure the victory for the New Orleans Saints against the Los Angeles Rams on the West Coast to make it 2-0 on this young season.
D's Lutz. How about Saban? Can you picture? See, I know him, and I've heard him say that before, but one of his players, now long gone from the program, he's in the NFL, came out and said it. That's something from my boy Nick. He does have a good sense of humor. He just never shows it to the masses. But interesting, to say the least. Okay, my headline number two, I'm going to stick with the West Coast. And my headline's going to be N.O. Loves L.A. from the theme song. From back in the day, I love L.A. I love it. Look, the Saints have had this game circled for a long time. The Rams know that they got lucky. Now, the Saints could have stopped the Rams after the no call and still could have won the game, but they didn't. So not only did they not get the call, but that prevent defense that reared its ugly head against the Texans once again, where they scored with 55 seconds ago, they scored in 18 seconds, something like that. So they've got to work on that. I much rather face Jared Goff than Deshaun Watson. Watson scares me because of his mobility. So I think the Saints get it done. This is a game that they want. This is a game that puts the demons to rest. How many voodoo dolls are going to have needles in it with Jared Goff and Aaron Donald and Sean McVay. The Saints will pull out all the tricks. I think the Saints will have a great crowd out there in the L.A. Coliseum, and I think the Saints steal one. So N.O. loves L.A., headline number two. George, let's go for number three here.
I'm going with the star in the making. During LSU's 58-3 blowout win against Northwestern State, Heisman candidate Joe Burrow continues to excite the Tiger faithful, throwing for 300 yards, four touchdowns, and 2.5 quarters of work. Joe Burrow now has 13 passing touchdowns in three games and is well on his way to break the single-season passing touchdown record at LSU. Joe Burrow for Heisman.
Heisman for Burrow. Joe for for the Heisman. Okay. I don't know what you do in this situation. I mean, do you pad the stats against an inferior opponent, or do you take them out early and let Miles Brennan play and get valuable minutes? Because I think there's bigger fish to fry, and I don't think anybody in the world's going to watch this game or pay attention to this game. I think with Florida coming up, Auburn coming up, Alabama coming up, maybe you pull him early, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. I can't believe we've never talked about a quarterback as a Heisman Trophy candidate ever for LSU. Not since maybe Burt Jones way back in the 70s. We'll see. Okay, George, well done. CD, headline number three.
Headline number three, we're going to go ahead and look at the Raging Cajuns matchup tomorrow against Texas Southern. And the headline will simply read, Stampede. No, the fans aren't stampeding down the field. It's the Cajuns run game, just absolutely bull rushing the Texas Southern defense, rushing for over 500 yards, 400 of which
wow.
is going to come in the first half. They're going to sit most everybody in that triumvirate that we talk about all the time. Raymond Calais, Elijah Mitchell, Trey Regas, they're going to get it done. We'll see Jayave Magale out there for a good chunk of it. Maybe even the crown jewel of last year's recruiting class, Chandler Fields, and maybe we'll finally see what he can do.
Over 500 yards, 400 in the first half. Holy cow. That's a lot of chunk plays. Man, I hope you're right. My headline number three is Commissioner Silver vows to pay to play. The USA FIBA World Cup team, our D-League team, in which Harrison Barnes got the second most minutes on the team. Yes, I said Harrison Barnes. They can finish no better than seventh in the world, in the sport in which we dominate. It is ridiculous. It's totally ridiculous. We have no players on that team. There was a Plumlee sighting. Are you kidding me? In Japan, in China. A Plumlee. Holy cow. A Miles Turner. You got to be kidding me. Adam Silver says, that's an embarrassment. Okay. Hey, LeBron, Anthony Davis, Steph Curry, James Harden, and all you guys, Westbrook, George, and all the best of the best. How much is it going to take us to pay you to go represent our country over in the 2020 Olympics? Because we ain't getting embarrassed in the Olympic Games. We're going to win. I don't care. I'm stepping in front of Mr. Colangelo, in front of Popovich, and we're going to pay you guys. Just go play, win the gold, and come on home. So Adam Silver vows to pay for play is my third headline. You got anything else for me, George, I hope?
Yes, it is related to my headline, you know. And my headline is Show Me the Money, because South Carolina recently became the second state to put our legislature to at least commissioners to get paid for their images and likenesses. So Louisiana's going to follow suit in an effort to stay on top of recruiting, because we have the most NFL pro athletes per capita in the country. We want to continue to have that fence around the state, so we're going to follow suit and show these, at least attempt to show these collegiate athletes the money.
I'll believe it when I see it. The NCAA is going to fight this thing. It's going to get in the courts forever and ever and ever in a day. It's going to be a long time coming. But I understand the premise. I really, really do. All right, Clint, what you got? Number four.
This is just a quick rebuttal to George real quick. And you're saying Louisiana is going to be the next one. I mean, George, they still haven't legalized sports betting yet. We need to get that done first before we want to pay the players.
Amen.
And that winds up leading to college football being back on our video game consoles.
I'm so with you on that one. I need some NCAA.
You're spot on that one. Speaking of spot on, do y'all agree with me in my thoughts that he can't run anymore? He has a hard time throwing it, but he's going to have the most Halloween costumes in honor of him. Cam Newton with the hair and the scarf. How about that one, George? Yeah. Can you pull that one off?
I mean, I don't have any hair anymore, but I can buy a wig or something. I mean, Cam Newton is a walking Halloween costume. Like, I wonder what that guy does for Halloween. I wonder if he dresses like normal, like a regular T-shirt or shorts or something. I don't know. But, yeah, I saw that outfit last night, and, man, that's terrible, Jordy. Like he needs some GQ fashion tips, bro.
I just can't imagine what he spends for those clothes. But, Clint, would you consider the Cam look for Halloween this year?
No, I would not. Jordy definitely not going to be rocking the little Red Riding Hood outfit that he's got going on. It was just like the dude needs to just stick to wearing just regular clothes because, like, you're just done with the game, dude. Like, I'd much rather just wear shorts and a T-shirt and be done with the post-game interview and then head on home because you probably sweat and you stank. It's like, dude, just go home after that. Apparently he wants to go to the club after the game. It's like, what the hell?
But to your point, Clint, it's pretty impressive that he could throw those outfits together so quickly. You know, like, they're really terrible. But, I mean, think about how long it takes to be able to shower and get dressed and be right back on the podium. And he's putting together all these different parts of his outfit. At least that's impressive, right?
Eh.
Do you think he's like AD and has somebody that picks out his clothes for him?
I hope
like
not.
Like Anthony Davis does?
Maybe Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, boy. Clint coming strong. The headlines in two different newspapers. Are we going to say Miami gives us more of the same of what we saw the week before? Or are we going to say in Baltimore that Lamar Jackson continues to roll just like he did in week number one? Is Miami going to be just as bad as they were in week one? And is Lamar Jackson going to be just as good as he was in week number one?
Jordan, I think it's going to be Miami. Because if you look at what they've done, they traded one of their best defensive players in Kiko Alonso. They traded their all-pro quality left tackle and a good wide receiver all right before the season started. Like, man, it's obvious that they're tanking. And don't get me wrong, Lamar Jackson, I thought he was a better passer than what he showed last year. But, I mean, he's not Drew Brees. He's not Deshaun Watson. He's not Brady. There's no way this dude could continue to throw with the type of accuracy he's been throwing. He's just not that type of quarterback. So I'm going Miami.
All right. Clint, does Cleveland get off the schneid and finally win and keep the dog pound from going nuts?
They win one, and they win one with the greatest of ease. I feel like they're going to be absolutely dominant in – I believe this is the Monday night game, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yes. Yes, it is.
It's going to be an absolute...
And aren't we all pulling... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Jordy.
Aren't we all pulling for the Eagles on Sunday night?
Of course.
To beat the Dirty Birds? Of course we are.
Right. Absolutely. Right.
There you go.
Thought. It's not even a thought, man. The Falcons, if the Falcons go 0-16, they won too much, in my opinion.
Don't we'll see how many people pack the Mercedes-Benz stadium there. They're having a tough time getting people to show up at games. All right, we will see which headline we are the most proud of next week when we reconvene with the tripod. But right now, we're picking a clean sweep yet again. Tigers, Cajuns, Saints. Man, I hope we're right. Those are Monday's headlines on a Friday. Compliments of CD, George Becknell,
and me. And we'll be back to wrap things up on this Football Friday here on the Jordy Helfrich Show. 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
The Blonde Bomber is back, and better than ever, as you're locked into the Jordy Helfrich Show on 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the free mobile app.
All right, finishing touches on a Football Friday. A little basketball note here. Bob Marlin announced that the 2019 Mississippi Class 5A Player of the Year, Calvin Temple, signed a grant and aid to play for the Cajuns in the 2019-20 season. He averaged 21 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals. Mississippi, USA Today's Mississippi Player of the Year. So quite a coup for Bobby Marlin. On this day in sports history, two legends both hit their 500th home run of their career on this day, September the 13th. I thought I wrote it down. What is the year? September 13th. Anyway, don't worry about the year. It was the day. Willie Mays, Frank Robinson both hit their 500th career home run on a September the 13th. If today's your birthday, happy birthday from all of us to all of you. Hope you have a great day. Lots of cake, lots of ice cream. Armando Rios, former center fielder back in the day for LSU. What a ball player. One of my favorites is celebrating a birthday today. And a guy that never really panned out, but Kedron Boone celebrating a birthday from LSU as well. So there you have it. Good luck to all the high school teams tonight on a Football Friday night. Stay healthy. Fans, be safe, be careful, but have a great, great time. We all picked the Cajuns to handily beat Texas Southern. Northwestern State fans agree that they will get handily defeated by LSU. It's not a great week of college football by any stretch of the imagination. Saints-Rams is the marquee matchup Sunday in the NFL. Can the Saints exercise their demons and take it out on the Rams? We'll see. But we'll be back, God willing, on Monday to recap it all. Special thanks to Jim Cut, Chris Cozart for the weather, Jim Nickel, Doug Morrow, George Faust, Larry Holder, George Becknell, and my main man, CD. We have only one Friday, the 13th of September. Happy birthday, Chuck. Have a great one, great weekend. Come on back Monday, same time, 2 to 4. Same great station, 103.7 The Game. Until then, I'm Jordy Helfrich. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.